Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365. My name is Pete Diggory Donaldson. I'm joined by Jim Diggory Campbell.
Bon Jovi.
And Luke Moore.
Keep the faith.
Oh, more cowbell. You're listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365. Welcome, gentlemen, back into my bosom.
Thank you very much.
It's warm to be back here.
It's warm and comforting, isn't it?
It really is. It's the last show before Marcus gets back, thank Christ, because it turns out the running order to put together is actually quite hard.
I think he might be off on Monday as well.
Oh, what? Yeah.
So you're
what a disaster.
Woods, yeah.
You're an overtime dancer.
The Carabao Cup happened during this week. I didn't even bother trying to do a Marcus link there. Well, I'll tell you what else has been doing overtime this week. VAR.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's probably best you didn't try and do that.
Well, we'll start with Man City 2. Bristol City 1. Easily the most important injury time goal Sergio Aguero will ever score. Do we agree?
That's the only one I can think of he's ever scored.
I can't see how anyone would ever challenge that.
Yeah. Guardiola got a little bit desperate for the winner, didn't he, really?
I think Martin Tyler should do that Aguero thing exactly the same as he did when they won the league. For every goal Aguero scored.
I think every touch. See how long he can keep it up.
Just have a little button box going, every time he touches the ball.
Yeah, and it can't rise. It's got to be the same intensity and remain at the same intensity with every touch.
Like the little iPad box you've got to do the sound effect.
Yeah, exactly.
Here, Tyler surely can have. He's got. Go on.
You still make.
Well, that's a David Moyes version. Yeah, it's nice. Not quite as compelling, but a lot more horrific.
Yeah, even though you're a woman.
Yeah.
There we go.
So that's something.
Yeah. That is something. But Martin Tyler can definitely have enough disposable income about his person to invest in one of those. I just go rogue in the studio, in the gantry.
Why not?
A different iPad, like little sound effect.
Be like be Network.
Great. Yeah, it would be good. It would be great.
I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anywhere.
Yeah. I sort of got the feeling that for those of us who didn't get enough FA Cup shocks during the weekend, this kind of gave us a little kind of booster shot for what we were expecting over the weekend. We're like, oh yes, brilliant, Bristol City might win this one.
Sorry, yeah. Man City beating Bristol City.
Yeah.
No, but Bristol City were on the verge of doing something beautiful.
And they're still in the tide.
They are still in the tide.
And Bristol City went into half-time 1-0 up. Lovely penalty just before half-time. Perfect time to score a goal.
Also, that brilliant headed clearance from Aidan Flint.
Oh, my God.
Sterling's chip.
That was the best goal line clearance I've ever seen.
Really?
Have you seen it?
Yeah, but I mean...
My God, it was perfect.
It was brilliant. It was satisfying to watch, wasn't it? It's rare. A good goal line clearance can be as satisfying as a goal.
Yeah. I would have celebrated it if I was him. Like a proper passionate celebration. Yeah. He didn't break his stride.
Ran off to the corner flag.
Yeah. He's about 6 foot... Yeah, and then conceded from the corner. He's about 6'5", and he didn't break his stride, and he flicked it over the bar with such supreme accuracy. It just looks so good.
Yeah. Mm.
Tell me... Listen, we'll put it out to the social media accounts. If you can find a better goal line clearance than that, share it, because I've never seen one better.
I think what goes in that's in its favour is that a lot of goal line clearances are just chucking your body at something, or in some cases your hand. Even.
There's no science to it.
Exactly, but he knows exactly what he's doing there, and he's timed it to perfection.
Can I withdraw the statement I made a few weeks ago about how I feel that Mangala has improved? Because when I said that, I think I might have forgotten just exactly what he looks like with the ball at his feet, i.e. horrific. John Stones hasn't helped himself there either, but Mangala's got him into that mess.
No.
Yeah.
Oliver, Laurel and Hardy type mess.
But John Stones had a dive in there, did he? I don't think it is. No. I don't think he really did, to be honest. Well, it wasn't just the Battle of the Carabao Cup. It was obviously the Battle of the Animated GIFs as well. Bristol City on Twitter, they are notorious for putting these wonderful little Twitter videos out of...
some good ones
of,
over Christmas,
of their footballers celebrating and stuff. What's your, my favourite is the fire extinguisher one, definitely.
Yeah, that was the Bobby Reid one for this game, wasn't it? Mm. Where he's just swinging a fire extinguisher around. They've, they've had some fun with that at the start of the
season.
There's
one player, I forget his name, but he's ironing his own shirt and then he lifts the shirt up to the camera. But he's ironing, like, the lettering.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's it. You're going to lose the lettering, mate.
Unless he's putting it on.
You're going to ruin... No, because you need a bit of paper in between that.
Yeah. You need a barrier.
You're going to melt your iron, Jim.
Yeah, you've never. You obviously didn't iron your own Pascal Sagan name on the back of your Arsenal shirt. So I must have done that for you.
Profoundly did not do that.
Pascal Sagan.
I got the help to do that.
The first rubbish Arsenal player I could think of.
Yeah. And it was a good one.
Yeah, it's all right.
And you've not won going for glory.
Should have gone stepping off. But Bristol City were a bit cavalier in that game, perhaps. I mean, I understand you don't want to be too deep, but for De Bruyne's goal, right, they're 1-0 up away at Man City in the semi-final of a competition. Yeah. Is that six of them pressing forward, pushing on?
I don't know. Is it the case, though, that if you sit off Man City, you've got so much time to think about how good they are?
It's a balance.
If you're just letting them have the ball.
It's a balance. Jim, in the second half, they were completely different. They lined up, tried to make themselves very difficult to break down, which have to argue they achieved for a good amount of the game.
But I think Man City at that point was still like polling 70% of the possession at the time, which you're going to get if you sit off them.
But most Premier League teams wouldn't do that against City if they're 1-0 up against them.
That
so
point
it's impressive
was made
in a way.
That point was made in the commentary, wasn't it? Was it actually an interesting approach because teams are scared to do that? Because Bristol were, what, fourth in the Championship?
They're so flying high.
Yeah, they're doing well, and you know they're just a lot more confident than you know the equivalent of you know the bottom Premier League
because they're winning regularly.
Yeah, exactly.
And stuff,
so
that's
it's
a fair
a
point.
Completely different approach, and it's maybe worked for them. Yeah. I'd love them to nick it. Could you imagine it?
That'd be great.
Well, we are going to go on and talk about the Liverpool-Manchester City match a little bit later on. But could they go the quadruple, Luke? I mean,
odds for Man City to win the Premier League, the FA Cup, the Carabao Cup and the Champions League with Bet365 are currently 20-1. So £10 on that returns £210, including stake. You have to fancy them to get past Bristol City. Then they're in the final there. Obviously, we've got a long way to go in the FA Cup yet. Champions League, they've got Basel, haven't they, in the second round, which is you'd fancy them to win. Mm. I mean, they obviously are some good teams in the Champions League. But it's mad that we're even talking about it.
Absolutely. I think the thing is with City at the moment, the way they're playing and the way they've, you know, they had their sort of slight dip in form in that they were sort of winning late on, but they were still winning, is you fancy them against everyone in the Premier League. They've already played everyone in the Premier League and, you know, they've been phenomenal. So
that's the thing with form, isn't it? People look unbeatable until they're beatable and you're like, oh, it sounds like anyone can have a pop.
It's the Champions League, though, isn't it, where that's a bit more of an unknown quantity. Like, you know, we want to see them come up against, you know, Madrid, Barcelona, Paris Saint-Germain. We have no idea of how they're going to sort of stand up to that kind of challenge yet.
They could easily do the domestic treble.
Yeah.
Which would still be amazing. Mm,
certainly.
Yeah. And you know, if Bristol City stop them doing the quadruple, that would be the most amazing thing since Portsmouth stopped Man United doing it in 99. Not in 08, sorry, the treble.
There's a weird thing with trebles, which is that if the treble doesn't include the Champions League, it's derided in some way.
That's ridiculous.
Even though it's still winning three competitions.
Yeah.
Well, Mourinho and Man United did it last season.
Quite.
Well, I think that's why Jose is picking fights with Conte rather than Pep, because he's not anywhere near.
Yeah, maybe that's it, yeah.
It'd just be embarrassing if he started piping up against Pep now, wouldn't it?
Can you imagine? Well, the other match in this round of the Carabao Cup was, of course, Chelsea-Arsenal. Nothing doing, really. It was a bit of a dull one. But
can I do a Jean Ralphio from Parks and Rec impression about this game?
Yes, you can.
This game was rubbish. It was rubbish. It was genuinely really bad.
But it was our third dose of VAR this week, and we enjoyed
I've had
it
enough,
for that.
Pete.
I've had enough.
I've heard you can get enough VAR just on your everyday diet.
Is that right?
You don't need to supplement it. You don't need to.
Unbelievable.
I don't know. I felt... The breakneck pace of that game needed a bit of a breather, you know?
Well, there was a couple of instances. There was a bit of a hold up late in the match for a decision that they thought there might be a coming together in the penalty box.
It was Danny Welbeck, wasn't it, on Cesc Fabregas? And actually, I think the call was correct and it was a tight one. So I think it did its job there.
Yeah,
but it's going to take a lot longer than a few games, isn't it, for us to figure out.
Well, I don't mind decisions being made in the space between a ball going out for a corner. It's just the goal celebration that sort of upsets me.
Yeah,
it's only that really upsets me.
Yeah,
we're going to lose it.
We are not going to lose all goal celebrations.
No, but we'll lose a good percentage of them, and that's too many.
They'll just get longer and longer. They'll be like 3 minutes long.
Jim, better in the old days, wasn't it?
How many?
Everyone had just screen doors.
And a cap.
You just leave them open.
Cloth cap.
You'd invite burglars in to take all your stuff, and they didn't want to because they were nice.
Pete still does that.
Yeah.
But what percentage of goal scoring celebrations, Jim, were you content to lose?
Am I content to lose? I think we'll lose under 10%.
Jim Campbell.
I think that's okay.
Jim Campbell in slashing of goal celebrations. Shocker. I thought that I sort of half agree with what Jim's saying there about the idea that the decision was perhaps a bit of a tricky one. I think a referee. Well, the referee did get it right anyway.
Quite, yeah.
So maybe it wasn't as hard as maybe we saw on TV. But I suppose my problem with it is I'm worried it's going to start to undermine the referee on the pitch. And we've already seen two things from Conte which I didn't like. One was him running up and down the touchline doing that square box sign
right.
that they do in rugby, which is a bit like, oh, a manager's going to be doing that for every single thing now. It's a bit,
immediately,
yeah,
yes.
It's a bit stupid. And secondly, Conte said after the game he wanted loads more time added on at the end of the game because of this VAR thing. So if you've got a situation where there's three of those decisions in a half, and it's not difficult to imagine that, by the way.
2 minutes per decision. It's 6 minutes.
We're going to see the elusive 100 minutes on the clock
yeah.
more often than not.
I think part of it is surely they'll try and sort of reduce the time it takes to make those decisions. But playing devil's advocate here, is that really that bad if it means a goal is correctly given? Wouldn't you rather your team got 3 points and you had to wait an extra 6 minutes for them to close it out?
6 minutes is a lot.
Petr Cech is not going to serve a penalty, Jim, so don't worry about it. That's fine.
Yeah. Jim, if we sit here in silence for 6 minutes, which we have contemplated doing in the past, sure, it's a long time.
Dodgy edit.
Why would the commentary team do that?
No, I'm just saying. Instead,
next time we really want to talk about Jesse Lingard, let's just stay silent for 6 minutes.
Do you want 6 minutes of Martin Tyler just going, Aguero! Over and over again.
Yeah, but just one instance of it. See how long he can make it last. Yeah.
Arsene Wenger refusing to explain why he didn't give Sanchez a starting berth.
He's just exhausted and tired, isn't he? I think it was more, I can't do this again.
I cannot do this. We all know he's up for sale. I want to protect him.
Yeah.
I'll bring him. He got brought on about 65 minutes or something
like
that.
Yeah, and he was quite isolated. Mm. It was actually quite an encouraging defensive display from Arsenal, I thought, because Mustafi kind of marshalled Holding and Chambers to either side of him pretty well. And Granit Xhaka made a brilliant tackle on Alvaro Morata, just on the edge of the box at one point, which I think was my highlight of the game.
You actually pronounced his name Alvaro Morata now.
Yeah. Do your square thing.
Do your square
Listeners
box.
Can't hear it.
Yeah. Square box.
Couple of points on this. One is that I thought for all the criticism we levelled at Arsenal at the weekend for the Forest game and their lack of intensity, you couldn't accuse them of that this week in that game against Chelsea. The second point on the Sanchez thing, I don't know if I differ from you guys slightly, and Jim obviously will perhaps tell me if I'm wrong because he knows more about Arsenal than me. I actually thought it was a reasonable decision to not play Sanchez in this game.
His head isn't right.
They pick some hard-working players away from home who might give you a bit more of a shift, but a bit more of a shift in a defensive way than perhaps Sanchez would. And I thought it worked reasonably well. I think he was justified in that decision.
He also doesn't necessarily always play the strongest team he has available in the League Cup. Even if it gets to a later stage and even if it's, you know, a tough opponent. So that's fairly consistent with how Wenger picks his cup teams anyway in this competition.
I saw Michael Cox, zonal marking, tweet yesterday that Alexis Sanchez obviously doesn't pass to certain Arsenal teammates. Is that like a well-known thing?
I can't say I've noticed particular players he ignores, but then maybe it's because I'm not looking out for it.
There's this big cult of like him being a kind of one-man island. He doesn't get on with certain people in the dressing room. But like you get that in every dressing room.
No man's an island. Dunn taught us that.
Stephen Island, maybe. There was one one particularly frustrating thing, which was Alex Iwobi having a very tame shot when he could have passed to two teammates either side of him. The sort of mini scandal from the weekend, I think, was on his mind. I think he wanted to sort of write his name into the headlines there. But
the problem is he can't make a correct decision in that situation because he's always out on the piss. The Alexis Sanchez and Mesut Ozil thing with them moving, them not moving, and the free transfer side of that. We covered that quite interestingly on the Continent this week. James Horncastle was saying that the amount of money it's going to cost teams in a signing on fee for Alexis Sanchez is reported in I think in Italian media as being up to £30 million.
Wow!
And a signing on fee.
Yeah.
So when
still worth it in this market, though,
isn't it? Absolutely. But when we talk about him being available on a free.
Yeah.
I think people maybe don't fully understand or appreciate that signing on fee and wages is still going to be an astonishing amount of money. He's not going to rock up at Carlisle United because he's free. Well, obviously, he won't do that anyway. But you know, that was a poor example.
Don't
but you judge
understand
him. What I mean.
The thing that really concerns me about if Arsenal lose both Sanchez and Ozil, which I think is incredibly likely, and even if Sanchez in particular goes for this month and it goes this month and it's a fee like 20 million or whatever it is, in this market, replacing those players, you're looking at what? 300 million quid if you're going to replace players that bring to that team what they do.
Certainly so a lot of money.
Without getting any money in, you know, to fund that, that is going to be a tough ask.
And one final thing, Pete, I know you want to move on from Arsenal because we've talked about him a lot recently. Very, very quickly, I wanted to ask Jim his angle on this Francis Coquelin move to Valencia. Now, I know that he's not been that great more recently, but he had that good season with Cazorla 2 or 3 years ago. I'm astonished that he's been allowed to go for 12 million
for that amount of money, and also Jack Wilshere's, like, as if by magic, just suddenly injured. Well, as soon as Coquelin's out the door.
Another midfielder's moved out of the club. Oh, that's my ankle gone.
Yeah.
Do you think about the money, though? It seems strange to me that he's going for such a small amount of money.
Arsenal quite often sell players that don't play a lot for quite small amounts of money. Like, Gabriel didn't cost a lot of money when he also went to Valencia.
He's doing
Forget the fee, but it wasn't a huge amount.
And Valencia are doing well.
Yeah, quite. I don't know. I'm not sure how long Coquelin had left on his contract. That will obviously make a difference. But Valencia have the advantage of knowing that Coquelin, you know, isn't likely to get back into that team. You make the completely correct point about Santi Cazorla. Like, he had a really good partnership with Cazorla because effectively his role was tidy up, give the ball to Santi, and he'll spread it around, and that masked a lot of the inefficient qualities that Coquelin has. He's too limited a player to regularly play in Arsenal's midfield with a combination
of
players around him.
Dedicated, like, hard working pro, though,
very
like,
much.
And
so.
Arsenal need a bit of that, I think.
But the thinking behind this is, from what I've read, is that Ainsley Maitland-Niles, whose natural position is defensive midfield, is going to slot into that spot. But at the moment, he's playing at left back because both Kolasinac and Monreal are injured, so it just moves the problem.
Well, it's still January. They could possibly have a look at Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain for that.
Play down the middle.
Arsenal are playing Bournemouth this weekend, and Bournemouth are currently 7-2 with Bet365 to beat them. So £10 will return £45, including stake.
Lovely old job. Well, Jim, before we head to the ad break, let's have some correspondence. I'll start with you.
Yeah, it's fine with me, mate.
Well, if it's not all right with you, tough shit, because we've already planned it.
Luckily, we don't need this conflict, because I'm good with it.
Yeah.
Hi, Ramblers. As a Chelsea fan living on the South Coast, I was cock-a-hooped to see the following in the Western Community Hospital in Southampton, a conservatory opened in 2005 by thinking man's footballer Graham Lasso.
Huh?
Got me thinking that there must be a plethora of libraries and village shops up and down the country that have been opened incongruously by people from the world of football, and I think we'd all like to hear them. Love the show. Keep up the good work. Connor Dowling. And I agree
with
Connor. He attached the picture, and it is just a conservatory that has a plaque that says this conservatory was opened by Graham Lasso.
That's brilliant.
Which is fantastic. And he's absolutely right. There's got to be more of that. So do get in touch. show@thefootballramble.com with your incongruously opened things by footballers.
Thanks for that, Connor. I've actually worked with Graham Lasso reasonably regularly, and he's a very, very nice chap. He's got an extensive vinyl collection.
I would imagine he has. Did he mention the conservatory, or does he not really think about it?
No, I should have asked him, shouldn't I?
I could see him sort of listening to some records, reading The Guardian, in a high-backed armchair in the conservatory.
Being caught reading The Guardian.
Yeah.
to use the football parlance.
Yeah, quite. This is one for you, Peter. Greetings, Ramblers. I'd like to draw your attention to the most recent woes of Hartlepool FC. Now, there will be more on this later, but maybe it hasn't escaped the scope of Pete Diddy Donaldson, but here goes. During a recent away match to Dagenham and Redbridge, the players had to borrow training kits and equipment from the hosts. It was later revealed that they hadn't paid their laundry bill, which totaled £8,000. To add insult to injury, the players had to make their own way to the game by bus or by train, as their chartered team bus had been cancelled. That is a 520-mile round trip.
Yeah.
The poor bastards.
Yeah.
That's from Ben Doohan.
That's why certain people are going to court soon.
Yeah.
Because of financial mismanagement.
I can remember way, way back in the day, long, long before they got into the Premier League, Portsmouth having the big story on the back of the local paper once was that the players were having to clean their own jock straps. And it was this is so demeaning.
You could have picked any garment.
I know, right? And in Hartlepool's case, it's so frustrating because there's so much money in the game. And these clubs, I mean, you'll know much better than me, Pete. Hartlepool, for example, would be a focal point of the local community, right? So
Usually. It's
a really sad state of affairs. Mm-hmm.
There's very little left in Hartlepool, and that's one of the few kind of bright spots. They need £200,000 and quickly. They need to escape just basically not being a football team anymore. Back in the 80s, though, Middlesbrough They played one of their matches, their home matches, at Hartlepool United, and that kind of saved them. That kind of kept them going for a few weeks, apparently. So Borough fans are urging their fans to go and watch Poole's next home match. So hopefully they'll get some decent gate receipts for that. But it's a dire situation.
I'm just trying to think of a sort of wealthy sugar daddy type character with little links to the area, perhaps quite big in media.
Jeff Stelling, you're right.
Yeah.
The canoe man got a lot of money for pretending he was dead.
Yeah, but he had to give it back, I presume.
Well, maybe.
What's next, Jim?
Well, that's all very sad, but this will cheer you up because we've got a dentistry update.
Okay, good.
Okay. Hey, guys.
Greetings. Oh, is this about Josh Cullen? Okay, I'll listen.
Hang on, listen in. Hey guys, greetings from Sweden. Strong start. I'm a long-time listener and, as so happens, a dentist. Hearing Monday's chat about the lost tooth and Pete's subsequent shout-out for a dentist, I felt I had to get involved. When a tooth as a whole drops out of its socket due to trauma, it's called exarticulation in dental terms. The physio is right to be looking for milk, since this is a good medium of transport and will keep the tooth viable for many hours. Saline solution is the first choice medium of transport, milk is a close second, and a third good option is actually to transport the tooth inside the mouth. Doesn't need to be the mouth of the injured person.
Oh, that's a bit weird.
Yeah. Water and Coke are bad mediums of transport and will quickly render the tooth useless. To put the tooth back in place, it's called replantation. After application of local anaesthetic, the tooth is firmly pushed back into its normal position, fixated to the neighbouring teeth, and left to heal for a few weeks. The prognosis of this treatment is quite bleak, but better the quicker the tooth is replanted. Concerning Pete's discoloured tooth, I can only recommend you to visit your dentist and get it checked up. Thanks for a lovely show. Keep it up and feel free to consult me in any future dentistry-related matters. Best regards, Oscar Person, official dentist of the Football Ramble. I think we can say profoundly yes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I mean, you can't bestow titles upon yourself like that, but I will go with it.
I think he's earned that one.
I got a tweet around that after we talked about it, someone saying that actually the best thing to do if you can't find a glass of milk is to lick it and stick it. Basically lick it and stick it back in. And keep it in there as long as you can.
Wow.
You have to hold it in and then go to the dentist.
Yeah. Isn't that incredible, though?
But saving that, yeah, a glass of milk.
I've got a tooth question. There's a girl at work who has her baby teeth still. Can that happen?
True or false?
Well, she says it is.
Is she lying?
No, actually, I think she might have told me that when she was drunk. And then somebody else told me that, and I don't trust that person who told me the second time when I was sober. So I'm just,
Yeah, well,
can you still have your baby teeth at like 32?
Oscar, let us know.
Yeah.
You are the official dentist of the Football Ramble, so this is actually quite useful.
So spooky.
Further to this point, we've got another one here from Tom Goodyear. Okay. Hello, Ramble. I'm a much beleaguered kiosk worker at the Amex Stadium, and as such, have spent far too long among the sachets of yellowish UH2 udder juice that were mentioned in your last podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Although I have never used it to preserve teeth, I did discover how insatiable the Jehovah's Witnesses' appetite for milk is when the stadium hosted a Jehovah's Witness conference last summer. Seemingly in lieu of alcohol, every person I served smilingly asked for a pint of milk, at which point I had to painstakingly squeeze dozens of tiny sachets of the stuff until it filled up a pint.
Oh, that's
each
horrible.
Time, again and again, I was asked some searching questions about my faith by chemically calcium Christians for 7 long hours. Cheers, Tom Goodyear.
Imagine drinking a whole pint of that UHT.
Well, no. You know what? I was in a hotel in LA once, and I asked for a White Russian, and he made it with those little UHT things and charged me $40.
Send it back.
Send it back. Not having it.
No, you can't have that. I've got one more, and it's slightly mysterious. Okay. I want to see what you guys think
about
this.
Absolutely bumper email section.
It is, but we had a good week.
Yeah. It's almost like you're trying now, you're doing it. Not like Donny.
Grow up.
I've actually read these ones, so yeah. Do keep them short, it will help get them read out. All right, guys, just writing in response to the email from the last week's preview show about Brendan Rodgers' quote from a woman who has been given an apparent new lease of life by him as she waits outside the team hotel before games. I actually work in the bar of the hotel in question, which I can't disclose for security reasons, and can honestly say I have never seen or heard of Patsy or anyone that even fits the description. So I think Brendan is massaging his own ego, which, as a Celtic fan, annoys me, and as a regular Ramble listener, doesn't surprise me. Now, he's obviously asked that his name doesn't be read out, so right. Yeah, there we go.
Well, listen,
mystery.
If Patsy is out there listening, she should get in touch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Put this to bed once and for
yeah,
all.
If anyone's got any sort of link to Patsy, anyone knows if adults can keep their milk teeth other than Oscar, but although not that we don't trust Oscar, but just yeah, get
hashtag,
let us solve these mysteries.
Hashtag find Patsy.
show@thefootballramble.com if you are Patsy or indeed anyone else listening to the show and want to get in touch.
All right, we'll be back with our preview show next.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Donaldson, where's your trousers?
They're on my clothed body. Thank you. Jim White. Liverpool Man City, it's a Sunday ding-dong. It's Super Sunday, kind of.
And if this game doesn't live up to the billing, I'm going to be very upset on Monday.
Well, Man City playing Anfield on Sunday. This is the match that Luke Moore predicted could see Pep Guardiola lose for the first time this season. Are you still confident?
Well, I said, I think you're paraphrasing me a little bit there, and I don't need to be taken out of context. And I don't appreciate it. But now we've got that out of the way, I do think this is the best chance that anyone's probably got of beating City. Liverpool, very, very good form, very good at home, and are absolutely swashbuckling going forward. I know they've lost Coutinho, and perhaps that's a blow to them, but I do think they've got a good chance. I think they've got a really good chance, and it'll be a fascinating encounter on Saturday. I'm bloody looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's this image of Liverpool as, you know, obviously being quite rickety at the back, which has cost them at times this season, but they've conceded 4 goals in their last 13 home games in the Premier League, and they've kept 9 clean sheets in that time. I mean, you always keep a sheet. But yeah, I think, you
not
know...
the way I abuse them.
Donaldson, where's your sheets?
Yeah.
I burned them.
I feel like this game is going to be won in midfield, and I think the loss of Coutinho is going to be tough, because they're suddenly very quickly having to adapt to not having him, which is not ideal.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
They've done all right without them, haven't they?
But haven't they got a better defensive record than Arsenal in the league?
I mean, it doesn't say a huge
no,
amount,
but I mean, people don't... But no, I guess not, but people don't generally talk about Arsenal being bad defensively like the same way they talk about Liverpool being bad defensively. The way people talk about Liverpool, it's like they're the worst defensive team ever.
Yeah, but they've got some very high-profile, silly mistakes in them. That's a problem, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
It's not like a systemic failure. It's just a... Ah, why
it's more individual
that?
Errors, yeah.
Okay. I think for both teams, it's the same thing, isn't it? They're a big team to be shot at, so if they do something that looks like slightly amateurish, it becomes a big story and everyone points and laughs.
Is Mo Salah likely to play, Pete?
Mo Salah's back in training.
Back in training. I mean, right, Jurgen Klopp did take his troops to the Middle East for some warm weather training. A lot of teams doing that over the last couple of weeks. But the big news from Anfield, I think, is Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. He was spotted touching the "This is Anfield" sign.
Yeah, that's
before a traditional
the last thing,
match.
Right?
Well, it's a traditional thing that Klopp says he doesn't want in the club until they've won something.
Oh, right,
it's a mark of respect, he says. But obviously the Ox, new to the team, sort of didn't know get the memo.
What he said, I'll stop doing it when you start playing in midfield, like you promised me.
Central midfield.
What do you think about going to Dubai and stuff for warm weather training? To be honest, the way I am as an individual, I can't be arsed with that. 2 or 3 days in midweek going there and coming back again, the time difference, the heat, all that stuff, it wouldn't suit me
it's
at all.
It's more camaraderie, doesn't it? The more than
camaraderie.
I don't think it's anything to do with training, to be
Who does he
frank.
Play for?
But I just think it's just getting away, get the lads all together, let's drink some cocktails in a hotel bar.
Mocktails? They're athletes. they're mocktails, aren't they? That's what they call them.
Well, Jurgen Klopp, all right.
That's what kids call
Bring your mother had a lovely mocktail. She had a Shirley Temple.
TGI Fridays. 2 for 1.
Or a steak.
Well done.
Yeah, no, but like, I just think it's all about getting the team together and, you know.
Pete, if you were our manager, would you take us on warm weather training?
Well, no, because I'd have to go, yeah, don't want to.
Yeah, we'd end up in like Finland or really strange places, right, or Japan every time.
It's all about team building. Pete's the manager. He doesn't want to come. So, great team. Cheers.
Jurgen Klopp said at the Christmas party he had to shove beer down people's throats, he said.
Love that.
Like, no one's having it.
Brilliant. I'm with you on this, Luke. It's the travel of it. I'm sure once you get there, like having that sunshine.
Oh, 3 hours on a private jet? Oh, boo-hoo.
3 hours to Dubai?
Yeah, I don't know, 4. I don't know how long it is.
I'm going to check while you're talking.
All right.
You're talking.
Let's go for 4.
I just feel like, you know, that
it's
travel
is surely
going to sort of affect your tiredness.
Donaldson, you are fuming there.
What?
6 hours, 55 minutes.
Bloody hell. Yeah, but if you've got a really quick jet, yeah.
3 hours. Well, you're going
right. Type in private jet.
type in Liverpool quick jet to Dubai.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. The big news for this week, obviously, was Tommy Lawrence. Tommy Lawrence, the goalkeeper, sadly passed away this week. He was star of that classic Derby-related Vox Pop where the BBC bloke went... Do you remember the 67 FA Cup? Yeah, that's right.
I played in it.
Yeah. Beautiful.
I love it. The best bit about that is the, obviously it's an amazing coincidence, but the guy who's interviewing him clearly has no idea who he is.
Yeah.
And he realises in the instant that he should know who he is because he's in Liverpool and all the rest of it, and that's why he's been sent out. And he just sort of goes, remind me of your name.
I thought that was nicely done.
Like, there were 14 goalkeepers playing that day. Which one are you?
To be fair, he looks very different to what he looked like back in the day because his nickname was the Flying Pig.
Yeah.
Right. So he was incredibly agile. It's like a Neville Southall character, fat guy but could jump. But like when you get old, obviously you lose a bit of timber and incredible.
And to be fair to that guy, preparing for that exact situation probably seemed excessive at the time.
Probably worth it. Yeah.
Vox pops are the worst thing to do. Let's talk to the... No, don't want to.
Liverpool are 2-1 to do the business at Anfield on Sunday and beat Man City for the first time in the league this season. £10 with Bet365 returns £30, including stakes. So watch out for that one. It's going to be a great game. I'm very, very much looking forward to it.
For Luke's sake, I hope you get your stake back and the money back.
It's been overshadowed by my Mourinho shout. And
drama. So we get past this weekend, we can concentrate on the Jose out brigade. Speaking of Jose out brigade, Manchester United, Stoke City going to be playing on Monday at 8 p.m. They were also in the Middle East at Manchester United for warm weather training, and it rained a lot.
Yeah,
so there's your warm weather training.
I saw a couple of the videos. Well, it doesn't mean it's not warm, just because it's raining.
Yeah, but you can't really tell.
Is Spelsy having a bit of a warm time of it in Argentina?
It's kind of middling, isn't it, I think? He's some places... Where is he, Buenos Aires? I don't know where he is. He's been all over the place, hasn't he? But he was pictured, I think, on our Instagram.
Slide tackling a statue of Lionel Messi.
Yeah. Disrespectful.
I think so, yeah.
The man's a yob.
I thought he was. I didn't know he was a Cristiano Ronaldo man.
what a Brit abroad! I know, letting us all down.
Yeah, but like, plastic chairs around.
If you check it out on our Instagram, just search the Football Ramble. You'll see he's also got one of those caps on with two beers, one each side with a straw.
Oh, he'll be popping up on Booze Buenos Aires.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a hire car with one of those little kind of, you know, those little toys you used to get when you were younger and you used to stick it in the car window. I didn't have a car. I don't know why I'm telling this story from my perspective. We didn't have a car. My mum and dad don't drive. But it was a little bloke who would pull his pants down when you squeezed the little squeezy.
Yeah. Does he get one of those, by the way?
Get one of those.
he's got one of those.
Or a Garfield.
Office. Yeah.
Man United are going to be charging severe fans £89 for the next Champions League tie to subsidise the subsidies they're going to give to their away fans for going to Sevilla.
This is an interesting story, and as far as I'm aware, it comes from Man United being a bit cheeky and not giving Sevilla the correct allocation for them to come to Old Trafford in the Champions League.
Yeah.
So they said, all right, we're going to charge United fans a load of money then, and which United said, well, we're going to charge you a load of money then. And everyone went, well, hang on a minute, can't you just subsidise your own fans? So they then did that. And it's like never-ending. Yeah. It's an ongoing saga.
United are claiming that they're doing it so other teams don't feel they can just sort of basically take the piss in the future. But it is, you know, will it do that or will it just set this precedent?
I mean, it is outrageous. Yeah. It's absolutely outrageous. If you're travelling across... I mean, they're not travelling the breadth of the continent, but they are travelling somewhere across the continent to then have to pay £89 when you get there, which whether you're
to
a Sevilla fan
Shaw on the bench,
whether you're a United fan or a Sevilla fan, is very, very steep. I mean, it's ridiculous, really.
Mm. Very, very. It's unedifying. Like, there's a lot of stories around at this time of year where you just go, oh, just get on with it. Just bloody get on with it.
Pete, what's the most you've paid for an away ticket?
If you're not like, if you don't have like a season ticket, it's usually around about £50. It's quite
Didn't you pay a lot at Stamford Bridge once, famously?
Oh yeah, but I did get to see that Cissé goal. Yeah, I was about £60, I think. And I got to see that the amazing Cissé goal of the millennia. But I was sat with a Chelsea fan, so I couldn't celebrate.
Oh really?
So you
should have done nothing.
So annoying.
You're wiry. You'd have got away.
Yeah, you'd be fine.
Anyway, Romelu Lukaku is considering legal action at Luke and Jim after Everton's owner Farhad Moshiri claimed that he left the club due to voodoo.
Yeah, have you seen the actual quote from what Moshiri said?
Incredible.
But Jim, the way Pete said that was like, it's because of us.
Yeah, I'd like to distance myself from any involvement
in this. Romelu Lukaku, Luke and Jim, is considering legal action. What have we done?
See you in the hair,
I just said he can't do it against big clubs. It's not libelous.
You shouldn't be hugging that voodoo doll of him, though.
No, that's right.
Very rude.
Well, Mashiri's actual quote was, he said he was on a pilgrimage in Africa or somewhere, and he had a voodoo, and he got the message that he needs to go to Chelsea.
He had a voodoo.
He had a voodoo.
There is a kind of weird connection between football and voodoo, and not in this case, because Romelu Lukaku is like staunchly Catholic, isn't he? I sort of think like favourite sort of voodoo stories from footballing history. My favourite one was definitely that. Remember in the Rwandan Premier League? I mean, you don't remember the Rwandan Premier League, but remember there was a famous story and famous video actually of a striker. He hit the post, and I think he hit the bar, and then he ran over to the football goal, yeah. and put something on the post,
yes.
And the keeper chased him
I
out.
Do remember
and
that.
Then he scored a header like five yeah. minutes later.
I remember. That, yeah.
I love voodoo stories in football. They're really interesting.
was there talk of Cheick Tiote going to a voodoo priest as well?
Yeah. So he was helping out Papi Cissé. Papi Cissé couldn't buy a goal for love nor money. So Tiote took it upon himself to visit a high priest and sort him out. And he did start scoring again.
When you mentioned,
maybe there's something in it, guys.
Remember when you mentioned Papi Cissé before we came in the studio. The only two things I can remember was that goal he scored against Chelsea. And him spitting at Johnny Evans and getting a ban.
Oh yeah, I remember that. That was weird, wasn't it?
He
yeah.
started
nice
very
bloke.
Well, didn't he?
Such Cissé. A nice bloke.
Yeah. No, he is such a nice bloke.
It's a term of endearment in the North East.
I liked it when he said he was he couldn't wear a certain shirt sponsor because of the business that the shirt sponsor was in.
That's right.
And then he was caught in a casino.
Was gambling. He really? That's
he's
brilliant.
Caught in a casino.
Because he's Muslim, he wouldn't have a Wonga.com, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, yeah, that was the big deal.
And I didn't realise he got caught in a casino.
And then he dropped any objections. Kike Sanchez-Flores in the frame for replacing Mark Hughes.
Yeah.
That'd be a good fit.
Well,
I'm having that.
He did well at Watford, didn't he? It's been a while since we've seen him on these shores. But I think so. But the difference is, when he was at Watford, he had time to prepare and he'd be parachuted into a very difficult situation here. So it's very, very difficult to make an informed judgment on that.
I think any manager that comes in at this point would need certain guarantees when it comes to the financial markets.
Yeah, but you're kind of firefighting at this point. There's talk of Martin O'Neill, and not only Martin O'Neill, but Roy Keane as well coming in together.
Flores is at Espanyol at the moment, and they're doing okay. They're mid-table, I think. So, I mean, they need a manager, don't they? So, I mean, and he's managed in the Premier League before, as Jim said. I saw the Martin O'Neill link as well, and you wonder whether O'Neill is keen to get back into sort of the day-to-day stuff, and whether Keane maybe they've. I mean, I'm sort of reading between the lines. Maybe they are interested, and then Keane can take over long term or whatever. Because Keane would take a Premier League job, wouldn't he?
Oh, absolutely. But I don't think he'd get one immediately, though, would it? It would have to be something like this. There's even talk that that they both stay on with Ireland as well, which I think
is
probably fanciful.
not these days. You can't do that. You can do that in Championship Manager 98-99. You can't do that now.
That is the managerial equivalent of the swap deals that just never happen.
Yeah. Well, because a double is difficult to work out. Stoke are currently 14-1 to beat Man United at Old Trafford. £10 with Bet365 returns £150, including stake, should they get the win. I think it's probably a stretch, although obviously they haven't hired a new manager yet, so there's no new manager bounce to speak of. But they probably can't be any worse than they were under Hughes towards the end.
The very unlovable team in the end. Eric Lehigh got his dog.
He did.
Oh, he got his lovely little dog.
It's a pug, isn't it?
Lovely little pug. Yeah. Lovely little pug. He, despite only managing a brace, the promise was from his partner that he would get a dog if he scored 3 goals. He scored 2, but he just made such a blummin' meal of talking about it.
Apparently his wife was absolutely bombarded on social media to the point where she just got him once.
Do you know what the dog is called?
Gunner.
Yep.
Yep.
Is he an Arsenal fan? I didn't realise that.
I don't know. I think he's just rubbing it in, isn't he?
Yeah, you had to call it a gunner.
It's funny if he was an Arsenal fan.
Check. Petr Cech.
I mind you, if he was an Arsenal fan, something would have been made of it when he scored 2 goals. Fair enough. Yeah.
Indeed.
I like that. He's having a dig. Even Forrest having a dig at you. Yeah. even sort of workmen-like sort of journeymen American footballers, Jim, are having a pop at Arsenal.
Yeah. Yet it's a status you can only dream of.
Yeah, it is. People don't even know who Pompey are.
I've been checking out the German media guys. The German news outlets, actually, I don't know which German, Transfermarkt.
The German news outlet.
Transfermarkt put together a team comprising of the most expensive players who've played barely nothing this season.
Are they all Premier League players?
Some of the Premier League players, some of them are in France, some of them are in Germany. But there's some beautiful, it's a really solid team, but they're just not getting time on the field.
But
imagine a lot of these players will be moving very soon.
Yeah, I looked at this team and it's actually a sort of very balanced, coherent lineup.
It's nice, isn't it? Yeah. So you've got Batshuayi, you've got Slimani, you've got Lucas for PSG, you've got Theo Walcott on the right. 49 Premier League minutes or 49 league minutes this season.
He scored 19 goals last season.
Incredible,
isn't it? Incredible drop off.
Davy Klaassen in the middle.
I mean, yeah, he's hardly played.
16 million euros there. Andre Gomes in the middle. Lucas Digne. Is it Digne? I was scared of it, didn't you? Matteo Darmian, Dragovic at the back, and also
Maximovic
as well.
So and Kevin Trapp in the goal for PSG.
It's not a bad little team. I would go with that.
Yeah. It's no coincidence that the majority of those players are Premier League players. because of the profligacy of the league, basically.
It's crazy, isn't it? Luke, it's time, as we always do around about this time on the show, for the best bet with Bet365. Have you got it this week?
It is, and we're in a terrible run. Oh. And I say we, I mean you, the listener. So if you're sat on a train with your earphones on the way to work, or you are out for a run, or you are just playing it in the house while you're doing the washing up, whatever it is.
Or you're playing it to one of your clients as a dentist.
Yes, possibly, yeah. Send them to sleep. Yeah. Think about this, because it's getting pretty bleak now, and you listeners need to do a little bit better. Now, what I would say is, we had a decent amount of take-up this week. We have a decent amount of take-up every week, but we had a lot of people interested in being the bet of the week, or the best bet with Bet365 candidate this week. Step forward, Alex Murphy.
Right.
Murpho. He says, hello, Ramblers. I've just finished listening to Monday's show to hear yet another fan has let us down in the bet of the week. And I like the way he uses us, because he feels like part of the team.
Collective responsibility.
He said, I did try last week and went with a Coventry win, so I feel I've got good pedigree for this. The amount of people who say, oh, I picked it last week, but you just didn't pick me, is incredible. Yeah. But anyway, Alex goes on to say, I'd like to suggest Spurs to win with over 2.5 goals in the game. We need to raise some much needed cash for a worthy cause. He said, I'll be at Palace myself looking for a highlight of the week as Uncle Roy gets us back to winning ways.
I like the W's in that
one. Disrespectful. Yeah. But anyway, Spurs to beat Everton, and there to be over 2.5 goals in the game, so 3 goals or more, is currently 10 to 11 with Bet365. So £50 returns, £95.45, including stake, with all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. Go to begambleaware.org for more information. So that's Spurs to beat Everton this weekend, and there to be 3 goals or more in the game is our best bet with Bet365.
The very essence of a lovely old job.
It's been so long since anyone's had a good win. We've stopped talking about hat-trick. Still never been a hat-trick in the history of Bet365's best bet.
It's like Leicester's after they won the league. It's just kind of, Champions League, what can we do?
How do we follow it?
Well, us three, and presumably Marcus as well, are looking forward to a weekend of league action. The league is back. But what's everyone else looking forward to, Jim?
Well, we're going to find out what Joe Lowe thinks straight away. He's saying that he's looking forward to not hearing about VAR, especially not having to hear about every player and manager interviewed giving a bland, non-committal answer about whether it's good for the game or not. I don't care what Callum Chambers thinks about VAR. Callum Chambers doesn't care what Callum Chambers thinks about VAR. Joe Lowe not in the best mood.
Callum Chambers has got enough to worry about, is that fair?
Exactly. Yeah, fair enough. Oliver Memories Bailey's back in touch. It's Memories because it's Facebook, obviously.
Yeah.
I want to see more beef between Conte and Mourinho. I want to see dueling press conferences. I want to see net spend mentioned. I want to see hair transplants mentioned. It could come down to that.
Oliver Memories Bailey emailed this week with a bet of the week candidate as well, bet candidate.
All over the place.
And I rejected it.
Prolific.
Just because I can only pick one. But, you know, don't take it to heart, Oliver.
He does his doggies, doesn't he?
He does, big time. He's always on
there.
Thanks
for the memories.
Yeah. Jamie Glynn-Bale's been back in touch, another familiar name. Hearing myself say, I'm too old for this shit, during a five-a-side followed rapidly by a feeling of shame and guilt as I remember that Kazuyoshi Miura's contract extension has just been granted and he is 50 years old. He's back, King Kazu.
He's back.
He's got himself another contract.
I love that.
51 next month.
I love that. He puts us all to shame.
Got one more from Nick Aspie, and Nick says, I watched 5 games last weekend. 3 were 0-0, and one saw my beloved Leeds do their annual FA Cup embarrassment act. Is a thrilling thigh rubber at Anfield too much to ask for this weekend? No, it's not. Let's hope we get that.
Yeah, I think you deserve it. If anyone
has suffered.
The DJ that's on after me on my radio station is a big Leeds fan, and before I went away for Christmas, I wrote down the next 4 Leeds fixtures and my predictions for how they were going to go. I got the first 2 right and the scores.
Oh, nice.
That's brilliant.
Amazing, isn't it?
You should have had a little best bet with Bet365.
Should have put my best bet down. Maybe
if it carries on like this, I'm going to give it a couple more weeks.
And then
I'm going to start turning it to you guys. You got to step up.
I was stepping up there earlier, mate. Yeah. Well, thanks so much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. We'll be back on Monday for a football ramble. Have a cracking weekend. Enjoy the football, everyone.
Yeah, we'll spend about 25 minutes poring over Liverpool 0, Man City 0. Looking forward to it.
Indubitably. Let's just not talk about Arsenal so much next time.
Good idea.
See ya. Oh, I'm going to do it right this time. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. I'm Pete Donaldson. I'm Bon Jovi. Bon Jovi.
I knew you'd fuck it up.
Bon Jovi.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.